You know, the other thing that that entrepreneurs usually come across is this whole issue about how to price their product. And I'm never-endingly surprised by how many people you come across and you ask them, so how much is your product worth? And they'll tell you the price. No. How much is it worth? And they don't know. They don't seem to have a firm grasp of the value that they add to the customer.
I think that's very true. And very often they've, you know, inherited a business model, or they've started their own business having worked for someone else previously. And very often they haven't asked themselves these questions. But the reality is, if we all want a premium price for our product or service.
Of course, that's what capitalism is all about.
Why should we expect? How can we expect that if we're not able to clearly articulate what we think the value of that product or service is?
And the value to whom? I guess that's not the value to yourself, obviously.
But over and over again, and even when I talk value to many companies, it's surprising how nebulous a response I get. You know, well, it's good for this and it's good. Well, at the end of the day, a value statement for anyone who's in business comes down to dollars and cents. What's this going to put in my pocket that I didn't have before? I mean, it's as simple as that. You know, whether it's GE or whether it's, you know, a small trader down the road. And you should be prepared with a very compelling answer to that question. And ideally, it's an answer which is so compelling that it entirely takes the focus away from what the perceived cost of what you're delivering is. If you have something that you're delivering where they can kind of see how many people are involved and they know what the raw materials are, they can kind of do a back of an envelope cost and they can say, okay, it's costing him $500 to do this, he's probably going to want a 10% margin, so $550 would be a good price. You want to take their minds entirely away from that. And you want to come up with a value proposition that is so compelling that it puts you in a different place from what I would call input-based pricing. I mean, input-based pricing is where you take those inputs, you mark them up, and you then have a price, okay? The problem with that is it's linear, and you're always limited to a certain relationship between price and input. What you want to do is you want value-based pricing, which says it doesn't matter what the input is, I'm not going to look at that. It's none of my business, none of your business. I'm very good at what I do. Let's look at your business and let's look at how much value I can add. And you want to add, be able to compellingly argue for a value add which is of a significant scale. So it's 15% uplift in sales, 10% reduction in costs, whatever it happens to be. And it comes to many, many times the price that you're asking for what you're delivering, so that there is a very clear payback. Look, I think you can see, based on what I've told you, that you're going to get a return of 10 to 1 in the first year, and over 3 years, 30 to 40 to 1. So the fact that I want to charge you $100,000 for a day of my time is neither here nor there, because it's worth every cent.
But then that's got to stick, doesn't it? I mean, if you then don't deliver the 30 to 40 to 1 type of returns, then you're in trouble, right?
Well, of course, but you will. You will, won't you, Mark?
Oh, absolutely, Simon. But what if for, you know, floods or other reasons, it doesn't work out that way?
In all this, I'm kind of assuming that you know what you're doing, because I know that you know what you're doing, yeah? So we should work on some value statements like that.
This isn't about me, this is about you.
I sense a certain equivocation here. I'm worried, yeah.
Well, but most companies, as I was saying before, most companies, they do cost-based pricing. And they know exactly what their margins are.
Quite often the salesman is absolutely banjaxed when you ask him what the value is. So, you know, I always find that astonishing.
I always find it astonishing the sort of English terms you come out with. First it was...
Well, banjax is actually Irish, to be precise. But what's the matter with that? The richness of the English language.
Okay, so you're
so you banshee'd. Don't like axiomatic. It's axiomatic to me.
Right.
That occasionally my clients be banjaxed.
Oh, banjaxed, not bansheed.
No, banshee is a demon that makes a strange whining noise.
And so does the salesman from time to time. But anyway, let's get back on track. Because the other thing that you'll find, particularly in Asia, is this issue of anchoring. Mm. Anchoring means that you set certain price expectations against which you then offer a small discount and make the client feel better that they're getting $100,000 worth of value, to use your example earlier, for the low price of $95,000.
Well, you've described a way of pricing. I mean, I don't think you always have to price like that by any means.
No, but the point is that if you're trying to
you
do business in Asia,
yeah,
but the point is that if you're trying to do business in Asia, you have to actually set that expectation far higher than you would like, because the person sitting opposite you at the negotiations table is likely to try to anchor you at zero. And that's something that I think, in my humble experience, people from the West don't fully grasp. If you're in Australia, for example, you're sitting down for a sales meeting. the guy you are selling to will understand that you've got a family to feed and, you know, let's create a win-win situation. I pay you a decent amount and in return I get decent value.
Yeah.
The expectation in Asia is that I pay you nothing.
Yeah.
And you'll still give me all the pieces of value as though I was your best million-dollar customer.
I mean, if you want, where did I learn about selling? I learned about selling from a rug salesman in Kushadasi in West Turkey, okay? I don't know whether you've been...
Should we be worried about this?
Why?
Anyway, keep going. keep selling to me. Mark, let's see if you can sell me some rugs.
Mark, listening to you, I think you're too anxious and you're overcomplicating this. I mean, I think maybe you need to go back to first principles. Go and spend.
Selling rugs.
Go and spend, not selling them, buying them. Go and spend, because be sold to by these guys, because they're absolutely brilliant, yeah? They're all about value, okay? So the first thing is they don't want to sell you anything. They just want to love you, because you're so nice, right? Okay. That's the first rule of selling. It's not about selling, it's about, wow, Mark, you've got so much in common.
But building customer relationships, fine. But at the end of the day, it still comes down to a discussion about price.
You seem very determined that it should. I mean, why not stay away?
But that's because it always does. That's my point. You know, if you're sitting down with somebody in Australia, you're discussing a product, you're building the relationship. Maybe you're bringing a slab of beer at the same time.
Well, you know the answer. You've answered your own question.
At the end of the day, we're talking about a price range, and where in that range do we fall to? If you're trying to sell something to somebody in Asia, you've always got to anchor them early and high.
Yes.
Rather than, you know, pussyfoot around this multiple this
well,
think, question
I think
of what
there's
price an,
there's another element to this, which is, and you know, I've learned many hard lessons, is that if you're dealing with it with a multi-level complex organization, there may well be other people who will have to make final agreement to this, whatever it is, and they may well want to demonstrate their added value by getting a further discount. And I've got caught by this a number of times where I have an interlocutor, we go through a cycle, I, as you have very smartly suggested, anchor the price very high in order that I can discount it very significantly and still make a good turn. Then it goes to someone else and they want another 3%. And then because he's the managing director and he's saying, oh, you can do that for me, can't you, Mark? You know? And what do you do? But then you're in the kind of zone where it's becoming a little bit uncomfortable. And then if you're really unlucky, there'll be a purchasing person who'll have another view. You know, he'll want to take longer to pay you and he'll want a discount on volume or something, you know. So first of all, you need to understand the entire buying process and how many people are likely to want to have their fingers in the pie. And then, to your point, the anchoring that you do, it has to be anchored at a level which allows for all of this.
People coming to Asia have very different expectations about how price should be done. And I see this among Americans, too. They come here, they think that it's all about win-win. Mm. To be frank, I think the worst thing that you could do in Asia is talk about win-win. Because, okay, I'm the customer, I'm winning. But you're the sales guy. If you're winning too, that means that I haven't won enough. And I'm not going to be happy until I know that I got every last drop out of you and the shirt off your back. Then I might buy the product at a further discount, best of all for free, and pay you 6 months
later. Yeah, I mean, you're describing a very adversarial process.
But that's what it's usually like. And I see Americans go into sales meeting talking about win-win and, hey, let's go to the haki afterwards. And not realize that actually they're
in a fight to the death.
And they're about to get slaughtered. Because the first thing that the buyer is going to say to them is, great product, great service, and it's free, right? And any price that the sales guy then says is going to appear high compared to free.
I mean, generally, I start by telling them I'd like to do it for nothing. I mean, that's my first gambit. I mean, I don't want you stealing this, but I mean, typically... we're not putting this on the website, are we? Because I've used this with quite a few clients already. I say, frankly, Mark, I really like you and I really, really want to do this. And by the way, having looked at this, it's incredible to me just how much value you're going to get out of this. You know, it's going to be millions. You're going to get returns of 30 to 40 to 1 within the first couple of years. This is, you know, frankly, even if you didn't have any money, I'd want to do this. And the only reason I can't do it for nothing is because I've got 3 children and a wife and all that kind of thing. But in an ideal world, however, I am going to have to charge you something. And since you've agreed that it's going to deliver 30 million in value, I think a return of 10 to 1 is probably... So I'm going to charge you $3 million for a week of my time.
Sticker shock.
Yeah.
And this has worked?
I don't normally charge quite that much, but so I'm prepared to come down a bit on that.
Really? How much? Free, right? It's free, right? you're gonna do this like these programs. The point of the free thing
is that I love what I'm doing, and I know that I can deliver value. And every time I deliver value, and I've told you about all the things that these other people say about, wow, you know, what a revelation it was. He told me he delivered 3 million. I didn't believe it, and he delivered 5. You know, that kind of thing. So the stories are washing about. You know, I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be really good. Then you anchor the price high. It's de-linked from the inputs, and you anchor it so high that you can take a pretty hefty whack from 2 or 3 people and still end up with healthy margins.
Hmm. Remind me never to be in line to be your customer. But if you still want to be, you can get in touch with.
Well, I don't think we can put this on the website because people are going to think I'm a robber, right?
Yeah, but they could find out actually how much you enjoy what you do, how much value you add, and all they have to do is click contact us to get in touch with you.
Yeah, we do add value, and you know, we had record growth this year, and that's 12 years now of pretty much unalloyed growth. And we're doing that because 80% of our business is repeat business. So we are identifying value, we're delivering value, and customers are coming back for more value.
Unalloyed. There's another word that you'll have to explain.
Well, and they get free words, one free word every hour.
Yes, axiomatic.
We don't even charge for that.
Bell-jacked.
Band-jacked. Bell-jacked. Sounds like something you might pay for in Orchard Towers. Can you jack my bell?
Cut!